But hitherto we've all been sinners, haven't we? That's right. That's why Christ died, to turn us, everyone, from our iniquities. He came to save us from our sins. He created us to be changed, to be transformed. And a lot of people who think they ought to enter the kingdom, remember, from to him that hath shall be given. And from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he seems to have. You seem to be a Christian. You seem to have something in Christ. You seem to be a child of the kingdom, partaker of the covenant. But no, it only seems to be so. It's not truly. That's what will happen to all those whose works are works of iniquity. We need to continue to seek God in faith that we might be cleansed. And not stagger at the promise of God. That's impossible. Right? Sarah, you know, they staggered at the promise. That's from Hebrews. They staggered not at the promises. What? Sarah, have a baby? You're kidding. Oh, that's impossible. And they stagger at it. Oh, me? Turn from my iniquity? Impossible. They stagger at the promises of God. Oh, no, that can't be. In fact, I don't really want it to be. Because I rather fancy my iniquities. And I was kind of counting on just being forgiven. I know the wickedness of your heart. You who say, oh, I believe, but then refuse to believe. I believe in my salvation, but I do not believe in righteousness. I do not believe in the righteousness of God being attained by men. Oh no, I don't believe in that. Outer darkness. The weeping and the grinding. There's articles here. The weeping and the grind. It's not a state. It's a specific occasion. It's used of the Lord when he returns. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth of those who are cast out of the kingdom and those who enter in. When they see that they have failed of it, there will be a weeping and a grinding of teeth. They will be cast out. You know, Jesus uses this expression 7 times. And we'll cover them all eventually. All 6 of them in Matthew. And the occasion is the end of the age, when his servants shall have come, and when they will be exalted in the kingdom of God, and then they see themselves not entering in. You know, it's the occasion of Matthew 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, have we not, have we not? And when he says, depart from me, you the work iniquity, I never knew you, that's when they weep and they grind. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered to them. So, there we have Peter's wife's mother. So, that would be, you know, according to some people, you know, in the Catholic Church, they think Peter was the first pope. And, if that was so, then the first pope was married. Of course, many since had wives, or one of the biggest arguments against celibacy in the Middle Ages was because it caused all the priests and bishops and cardinals to have mistresses because they couldn't have wives. And many of them had children. But they were all bastards. Illegitimate. Because they weren't allowed to marry. Paul even talks about forbidding to marry. It's wrong to forbid people from marriage. Anybody. There's no office in Christianity for which marriage is unsuitable. You know, I don't see anything that says, oh, you can't be married to have this. In fact, some of them, it says, let the, I forget if it was bishops or deacons, but they should be the husband of one wife. Verse 16, and when evening was come, they brought unto him many They were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Isaiah 53. You know, and that whole, if you read that whole chapter, you know, that really speaks to you concerning Christ, what he did, his sacrifice, and what it means. That's a prophecy concerning Christ and the work he does, or the work he did, he completed on the cross, and also in his ministry. And he healed many sick. You know, these are all the, Jesus did things, God working through him to cause people to notice that they might hear his word. Verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. The other side of the, where they were in Capernaum, I believe. Or, you know, a lot of these things, it's not necessarily like a direct chronology of events. You know, he entered into Capernaum, and he saw this centurion, Peter's house. You know, this may be all in a sequence, but that's not necessarily what we ought to assume. And sometimes if things in other Gospels seem, the details seem different, it could be it's another incident. Because Jesus was, according to the Gospels, he was healing all kinds of people all the time. So different incidences get crossed up and different accounts get into the Gospels. You know, one particular blind man being healed, they give a story and the details are different from another man being healed. And then sometimes critics look at that and they say, oh, look at the account of the blind man being healed, they don't match up exactly. Well, it could be a different blind man. But it also shows that there is no collusion. And also, it kind of puts aside the idea that later on the Bible is being edited heavily. All the earliest existing copies of any of the books show that scriptures were always kept scrupulously. To edit the work of the apostles would have been seen by their immediate successors as extremely, for one, risky, because people knew what the apostles said. It's hard to just, and they also knew, they'd heard the letters. And if someone started trying to change it, they would be like, whoa, wait a second. You'd have to have a lot of agreement across a broad spectrum, and you're just not going to get that. The conspiracy is to keep the word pure. The conspiracy